It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it's time for another edition of Valley Edition. And this week, we'll do something a little different. We're going to be interviewing the two senators in leadership positions in the Alaska State Senate. It's Alaska Majority Leader Shelley Hughes and Minority Leader Tom Begich. We're going to focus on a bill, Bill 111, that has had bipartisan support as it's passed through the beginning stages of approval in the Alaska Senate. And we'll be interviewing the two senators individually. First, Senator Begich, and then Senator Hughes. Enjoy. Good morning. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Tom Begich, Mike. How are you?
Oh, Senator Tom Begich, thank you very much for taking the time out of what is, I'm sure, a very busy beginning to the legislative session. I was hoping we could focus on a couple of questions relating to a bill that I know that is close to your heart, and I believe that's Senate Bill 111. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's the education bill that's seeking to create universal voluntary pre-K, to establish a strong reading program, and to ensure there's support from the Department of Education and Early Development to school districts to implement that program. And it also has a what's called a virtual consortium component.
Very good. I had the time, and I was very much impressed watching Gavel to Gavel's coverage of a Senate Finance Committee meeting where three senators, Senator Shelley Hughes, and Senator Holland, all spoke in favor of this bill. For our listeners who are not as familiar with this as perhaps others, could you've given a good summary of what it would do in general terms, but I'm curious what specifically you would see as the impact on the diversity of our state on urban and rural areas.
Well, the first thing, Mike, is to know that Alaska's had trouble really in terms of getting kids educated. We are generally toward the bottom of the scale when it comes to how well our kids are doing. And there have been a number of obstacles that have led to that. But after 10 years of research within our Department of Education, a lot of hearings by the Senate and House Education Committees, and a lot of review, we've really narrowed it down to really whether our kids come to school initially prepared to read and learn, and then whether or not we can hold on to those gains at early ages a little later on. So that's led us to look at examples from across the country and across the world as to what are the most effective approaches that lead to that. And then looking to see what we've tested here in the state of Alaska, both in rural environments and in urban environments, to determine whether or not there are some common denominators that really work for kids. And here's what we found. Number one, if a kid gets very high quality early education in a pre-kindergarten environment, that those children come into school better able to work in a classroom, better able to learn, better able to acquire reading skills, which prepare them to be able to learn throughout their lives. However, if they don't also have strong reading support in first, second, and third grade, a lot of those gains can be lost. So the second component of the bill, which is following on the universal voluntary pre-K, is to ensure that we have a consistent reading program across urban and rural environments that provides students the opportunity to learn with well-trained reading teachers supported by the Department of Education, and that training and teaching is done in a culturally responsive way to respond to our very different needs, both in rural and urban Alaska. If you do both of those things together, we have shown that in the Lower Kuskokwim School District, which is in the Bethel region, in Nome, right there in Mat-Su where you are, and also in Anchorage, so urban, semi-urban, and rural environments, that we can actually have success by the fourth grade. We see those gains retained. And by the eighth grade now, we've got data here in Alaska that show that those gains are retained. Now, that is side-by-side with the findings all across the country when it comes to where you have early education programs of high quality with strong reading components to support them in the early years. That is the same across the country. The results are consistent, and we want to take advantage of that to basically turn the needle or move the needle on education in the state of Alaska. That's why you see Senator Hughes and Senator Holland and myself and so many others united in this opportunity.
There typically with any program, a need to measure results over time. How long is this program proposed to be funded for, rather than being a year-to-year kind of thing, and how are results going to be measured?
Well, those are both very good questions. And again, preliminarily, our pre-K work has already been observed in what we call pilot programs, about $2 million a year for the last over a decade now. And so we do have really consistent results that already show that that will work. But this bill is filled with not just accountability measures, but also with a regular review process so that we know that what we're passing is having the impact we intend it to have. We recognize that if you're talking about a four-year-old in pre-K and you want to know where they're at in eighth grade, that there are a great number of years between the first, you know, the first encountering of this effort and then the last.
Right.
And so we know that we're going to have these elements operating for at least a decade if we're going to get real results. And so the bill does provide for that. The bill allows if, for example, if a school district doesn't have an early education program, the Department of Education will provide them grants for up to 3 years to help them develop a high-quality pre-K program. If they have succeeded in doing so, then their pre-kindergarten kids will be rolled into what we call the base student allocation. Now, that's the regular student count. And that shows regular support for those kids. Now, there is a sunset component to the bill currently, and if that sunset component is retained, that means that we will review the bill. We will look at the examples that are written into the legislation for how we are measuring success, and we will determine if indeed it is doing what we said we would do. If it isn't doing it, the legislature doesn't have to renew the program, but that is some, I believe that the, I don't have them in front of me, Mike, but I believe it's a minimum of 10 years and a maximum of 15 years before that sunset clause kicks in. But I'd have to double check my notes for that.
Okay. Any program of this sort will have costs. And
yep.
I want to pose this next question because there are other education bills. There's a base student allocation bill. There are other things. How does this one fit in with those from the standpoint of this session really needs to pass a bunch of them?
Well, that's always the priority of the finance committees and the legislative bodies. You know,
right.
They have to determine what they're going to prioritize. I was asked that question yesterday in the Senate Finance Committee by Senator Von Imhoff. She said, well, how do we pay for this?
Right.
And I said, well, there are two ways to look at that, and those ways are pretty consistent. First, we can choose to prioritize education over, say, the full, the full repayment of tax credits. So we pay the oil and gas companies about $170 million a year in tax credits. These are credits that, you know, we have a debt to these companies. We owe them these amounts. Statutorily, you should give them anywhere between $60 and $70 million minimum a year, but we've been over appropriating that amount. We could reduce that amount slightly and prioritize our kids over out-of-state oil companies. I think that ought to be one way we look at it. But secondarily, the legislature over the last 3 years has actually found ways to increase funding for the Education Trust Fund by changing how we calculate the percent of market value of that fund. We've increased funding through the Education Raffle, which as you're filling out your PFDs, the applications this time, I encourage everyone to sign up for the Raffle.
Right.
The winner got $45,000, but that produces $500,000 a year for education. And finally, we have had an overall population decline among students in Alaska that, you know, follows our aging population, our population decline. That means that the education budget itself is coming down. So in essence, what you're saying is we have this moral obligation to spend at least $10.5 million new dollars that are coming in for education, and we have actually a reduction anyway in the education budget. It just means a little lower production. So with that in mind, I think it's really a matter of whether we're going to value the opportunities and success that this bill could promote and promise over past obligations that I know we're going to fulfill over time anyway. And I think that that really is a choice we have to make. That's the choice that we talked about yesterday. And I, for one, value the opportunity of the future way more than I value reflection back on the past. I think we need to move forward in this state, and that's how we do it. And by the way, the sunset clauses would kick in either 2034 or 2035, depending on the final version of the bill.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, this is early in the session, and people are off running pretty fast. I know that there are the big ticket items that involve the permanent fund, the overall budget, other things. What's your sense of being able to do this early, or is it likely to be held until a later time when the bigger picture of the total budget is seen?
Well, I think it's a combination of those two things. I think the Senate's ready to move forward on this legislation right now, but we are waiting to see what the House does. There's a similar version of the bill written by Representative Tuck that's in the House Education Committee, and they are having a hearing tomorrow on that bill just to introduce what's called a committee substitute. They've had a series of amendments to the bill, and once they move that bill out of the House Education Committee to the House Finance Committee, I'm pretty certain the Senate will move their version of the bill over to the House. So I think it could, I mean, if there's a will, it could happen rather quickly. I've spoke with the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate and the House Minority Leader. We've agreed that education is a priority. We've also spoken to the governor. He also believes education should be a priority. So all the pieces are in place, but it comes down to political will. Will there be the political will to move forward? Are our kids worth more than re-election? Are our kids worth more than the oil industry? I believe that they are. And so that's what I'm going to prioritize. And you know, I'm just hopeful the political will be there. If it is held to the end, there's a good chance, as in past years, circumstances out of our control could intervene. If there's a war in the Ukraine, that could have an impact on Alaska. We could make difference with what the price of oil is. If there's uncertainty with a new variant of COVID that could shut down the legislative process like it did in 2020. These are all things we have to be aware of. And my hope is that we'll move like the Senate is moving now rather swiftly on the legislation, that we will continue to maintain a nonpartisan, bipartisan effort at moving this bill. And that we'll do so because we know if we don't, we're quite frankly, selling out another generation of our kids. Nobody wants to be responsible for that. It's time for us to move forward on ensuring universal voluntary pre-kindergarten and a strong evidence-based reading program so that our kids actually have a chance to learn and for Alaska to get out of the bottom of the list when it comes to education. We have great teachers, great schools. We just don't have the right tools. This is the right tool.
Mike Malevsky here at Bikavich Radio in Palmer, Alaska. And I've been talking with Alaska Senate Minority Leader Tom Begich. Tom, I've asked a series of questions. We have a couple of minutes left for your segment here. Are there other points you'd like to share with listeners about the education funding or anything in general?
Well, I think I'd say that with the substantial money coming into the Biden administration for infrastructure, almost $3.2 billion into the state, another half a billion left from the what's called the Recovery Act money that came earlier last year, and with the absolutely extraordinary price of oil right now, we really are dealing with substantial resources coming into the state. This is our opportunity to forward fund education. This is our opportunity to set aside an amount that would cover this legislation over time. All of that could happen. We're talking about at least $1 billion more in oil revenue alone coming into the state. We should wisely use that money to preserve our educational opportunities into the future. So I would say that, Mike. I think that that's something that I am very hopeful we're going to do.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Senator Begich. I know you have a lot of work to do. We've got off to a fast start, it seems, but it's still a long way to gaveling out.
It is indeed, Mike, and I'm hoping that we do it within 120 days at maximum. But I'm hopeful that this session will be successful. Check in with me periodically if you like. I'm happy to report on how we're progressing. But we're going to get a fiscal plan. We're going to get a strong education commitment from this legislature. And I think we're going to probably finally wrangle with the dividend question in a way that will maybe won't please everyone, but will please all of us in the long run because it'll preserve the dividend in perpetuity.
Okay. Thank you again. Stay well out there.
You too. Thanks, Mike.
Mike Malevsky at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Shelley Hughes.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Senator Hughes. We've done this before where you, as Majority Leader, and Senator Tom Begich, Minority Leader, have addressed a topic. And we're doing the same thing with this set of interviews. And the topic to start with is Senate Bill 111. You're very familiar with it. We had the great pleasure of watching you, Senator Begich, and Senator Holland all speak to it at the Senate Finance Committee hearing because we have gavel to gavel doing a great job. And I'm curious to start out with how would you describe this bill in your own terms?
I would describe this probably one of the most important bills since I've been serving that will impact the future of Alaskans and the state overall, because it's a bill that will be a game changer to help ensure students will have the absolutely best opportunity to learn and be successful then later in life because of really learning and mastering important skills. That's the really big vision of this. And if we weren't to do this, in fact, I've been troubled, and I would even say the word grieved. We didn't pass it back when we first started working on it 5 or 6 years ago, because there have been 5 or 6 years worth of cohorts of students that have missed out what this bill will provide. Better now than never, right?
I mean, right.
Better late than never, whatever the saying is. So I'm very happy that we're starting to get some traction. A lot of pressure was applied. I wasn't so sure a few months ago if we could break, because we had some resistance in trying to get a hearing at the Senate finance table. So I was very happy Senator Bishop was willing to schedule it. And he seems pretty excited about it. And a number of those around the table, I think, are going to be willing to get it to the Senate floor, which means it has a good chance of making it all the way through the process.
I'm curious if you would just describe what you think. There are many features to this bill, but in terms the listeners will understand, like, what difference will that make to perhaps my kids, grandkids, whether they happen to be in Anchorage or a more rural area or here in the Mat-Su?
You know, what it will help ensure is that children have an excellent opportunity to learn to read well by the end of third grade. And that is necessary for students starting in fourth grade, fifth grade, and on all the way up to graduation in order for them to be successful in all their other coursework. If they struggle reading at the end of third grade, the data shows, you know, some kids will make it up, but a lot don't, and they struggle in all areas, and that increases the chances that they will not be productive citizens, unfortunately. It means they have a much greater chance of incarceration. They have a greater chance of being dependent on the government for living and all those kind of things. So this bill will help hold schools accountable by requiring them to assess the children. And these aren't overwhelming, overbearing, lengthy kind of tests. These are 15-minute assessments when children conducted 3 times a year, conducted when a child's in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade. So it's very doable. And so we'll have real data to know how things are working. It also will require schools to use science-based, evidence-based reading instruction, and the department will help provide the curriculum and tools, as well as reading specialists who can help make sure teachers know how to teach reading. You know, teachers do get training, But there's been a hodgepodge of over the years of different types of reading instructions that have trended in and out of style. And what this is going back, Mike, is very much to the way many of us learn to read, is the use of phonics and to make sure a child knows how to sound out a word. I mean, it starts very basic. And extra intervention, as if a child's assessed and they're struggling at any point along the way, the teachers will have extra opportunities for those students to catch up and be on track. So I think it also has pre-K program, an early education component. You know, some children get what they need being at home with mom or dad or maybe a grandparent, and they're fine when they come into kindergarten. But a lot of kids are in situations through no fault of their own where they're maybe not having that kind of wholesome atmosphere and nurturing. And those children, they would be better off to maybe break a generational problem if they have an opportunity and an excellent education. So there's an early education component. There's also a virtual education component. And this is to make sure, because we saw virtual education actually not working so well all the time during the pandemic. And part of it was teachers need to learn how to do it and do it well. It needs to be only high quality courses that we offer online. We can't have mediocre or poor instruction that's boring and dry. It has to be done in a way that's engaging and will work for the children when it is used. So we want to make sure what we offer in this state is of the highest caliber for any online course.
So I understand, Senator Hughes, that we've had in the past a variety of pilot efforts in different places, but the distinguishing factor about this is that there's been time enough to create a comprehensive program that's vetted in the sense of being successful in other locations, et cetera, and that it's really intended to apply statewide.
It is. And, you know, definitely we were able to learn from the successes and the mistakes in other parts of the country on some of these. As far as the virtual consortium for the virtual education, we will be a leader in such that ours will be a statewide learning management system that districts, for instance, Palmer High School, might have a few extra seats in, let's say, a Japanese class, and a student up in the interior in a village who wants to take that Japanese will be able to be connected. It would allow the Matsu School District, for instance, to charge the school district where that village is located a fee for enrolling that student. So, and, you know, like I said, the caliber of how it's done, we want that Japanese teacher to know how to use the technology and know how there's various software and things that can be used for when things are done online, two-way video, that allow for actually some pretty enhanced experiences beyond what you might see in a typical in-person classroom.
Now, I know in the discussion at the Senate Finance Committee, dollars came up, the cost, and the question emerges, this is one very focused educational bill. There's also, of course, other bills that will be wending their way through the legislature, base student allocations and so on. How do you see this fitting in with all that education funding in terms of the timing early on now? And we'll just talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think because this actually requires a very specific type of curriculum and requires mentors and assessments, there's more accountability with this, so it's much more targeted. So I think the ability to get something targeted through the legislature has a much greater chance than an overall increase to the base student allocation right now. And I think something targeted to help address some of the issues, because we have heard from superintendents around state that the pandemic really has made a difference, and there will be a lag, and there will be some catching up that we hope students can actually do. There's question whether they can, and you know, I believe that they can, and I believe that if we provide the right tools, that they will. And so I think targeted funding is more important right now that has an accountability piece with it than if we were just to overall raise the base student allocation. There are also some federal dollars, and we don't know exactly. We're waiting on a lot of things regarding some of the federal packages going through. And actually, this the one that has, for instance, federal dollars for early education, that one hasn't made it all the way through. And even when it does, there will take some time for the guidelines. But there's potentially would be some federal money that could help offset some of the state money for the early education piece.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio, Palmer, Alaska, and I'm talking with Alaska State Senator Shelley Hughes, and we've been talking about Senate Bill 111, which has begun wending its way through the process with a companion bill, I understand, in the House. We have a few minutes left, Senator Hughes, and I'm open to having you share with listeners anything else that you see early on in this first week or so of the session.
Well, I'm happy to answer that. I do want to say before we move away from the other, it has been a tremendous pleasure to work with the minority leader, and we are so pleased that Senator Holland, as the education chair, was willing to put this out as an education committee bill, and I think that is one of the things that's helping this become a bicameral, bipartisan effort. So as far as what we're seeing, we heard the governor's state of the state the other night, and it was good to hear him point out successes of Alaskans, particularly because we've been through a real rough patch with the pandemic. So that was very encouraging. His reminder that Alaskans want us to take care of matters, including our fiscal situation, and they don't live their lives in terms of election seasons like sometimes elected officials do. And that was a good reminder to us all. They think of, they maybe think of their life more in cycles having to do with hunting or fishing or tourism. They don't think about election season so much. So we have a job to do. Can we get the votes? We haven't had the votes to do some of these things. But I feel like there's people want to try again to see if we can make that happen. And one of the things that can help us rally around the fiscal matters might be even something like the education bill. We're rallying around that. There's another area that I think that we could rally around too. And the governor introduced a young woman she went to Palmer High, actually, Carly Rose Kelly. And she had a drug addiction problem, run-ins with the law, lost custody of her children. And she has brought her life back together and is standing strong. She's part of working over at my house in Wasilla. So she's a local resident. And the standing ovation for her, Michael, was longer than our applause for Miss America, who was present. And I took that to mean that, maybe we could rally around some of these things. There's the initiatives related to domestic violence and sexual assault, the idea of the through one door concept, that if someone is victimized in that kind of situation, that they can get the help they need so they don't have to repeat their story over and over and over, but they would have a case manager who could help them. We have are expecting to look at the criminal laws related to that to try to deter some of this activity. We have the worst rates in the nation, and we're very overdue in addressing that. So there might be some efforts to work on that. And who knows that by working together on these other things, there might be more motivation to work on pieces of the fiscal package. So yeah, that would be my hope.
Well, very good. Senator Hughes, I want to thank you for taking the time today to call in and do this work. And I wish you well as the session continues.
Thank you very much. I appreciate a chance to connect with your listeners.
Alrighty. Stay well out there. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.